Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. O give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. We chant that psalm verse every Sunday at the close of the Eucharist, the great thanksgiving that is the Lord's Supper. We give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and mercy throughout the Sunday service and every Wednesday evening when we come together. Hopefully also in your homes and in your hearts, you're giving thanks to the Lord each and every day, multiple times a day, before every meal and at other times, because God is the source and giver of every meal and of every breath, every heartbeat, everything. So the national holiday of Thanksgiving really shouldn't be anything out of the ordinary for the Christian, except for the opportunity it gives to some people, at least, to take a break from school or work and gather with family or with loved ones. But we're glad to take another opportunity to gather as Christians and to turn our hearts heavenward toward our merciful and generous God, to say together, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever." Only Christians can, of course, give thanks to God, because only Christians truly know His goodness, the goodness of the God who has not only given life and breath to all creatures, but who so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Only Christians, the people of God, know how to reach God with our thanks and praise in a way that He will acknowledge, in a way that He will accept. Because, as Jesus says, no one comes to the Father except through Me. And so let us give thanks to God for all His goodness and mercy to us here in this life. First and foremost, in giving His Son into death for our sins. In finding each one of us with the gospel, teaching us the truth about all things through His Word, and bringing us to baptism and faith, bringing us into His family and into His new covenant of the forgiveness of sins for Jesus' sake. Then let us give thanks to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit for His goodness and mercy in temporal blessings. Family, food, clothing, shelter, human society, relative peace and freedom, for our church family, near and far, for a place to worship, for word and sacrament, and for opportunities to serve our neighbor and our fellow Christians, for all God's promises and the dependability of them, for God's mercy and goodness in His works of providence and preservation. All these things we've been given here in this life, and our merciful Father continues to provide them. But this evening we want to focus a little bit on the goodness and mercy that will follow us into the next life, in the New Jerusalem, where we will live after the last day and the final judgment have come. So we turn back to the book of Revelation for these last two lessons, this week and next. Just six short verses tonight, focusing on that new city, New Jerusalem, as John called it, where we will be gathered together with one another and with the Lord after the last day. He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. John is still here describing that city, the new city of God that will come down out of heaven, the city that, as we saw last week, is described as being larger than the whole state of Texas. In the city, John sees a river, That sends us back to Psalm 46. There is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, just as at the break of dawn. Now, the holy city in the Old Testament was the actual city of Jerusalem, but even in that Old Testament city, there never was a river flowing through the city. This was always a picture. A picture, especially of the Holy Spirit, who proceeds from the Father and from the Son, bringing life to the people of God from the Father and from the Son. On earth, the Spirit worked through word and sacrament, bringing God's life to sinners. As Jesus promised the woman at the well, "Whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst, but the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." But in the new city of God, the Holy Spirit will bring life directly to the inhabitants of the city. It's a pure and clear water of life, a picture of perfect cleansing, perfect truth, perfect sustenance, perfect providence, perfect joy, perfect life. It's not a pond or a pool of water which could dry up or not be enough, but a river continually flowing from the Father and from the Son, from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The tree of life. We haven't heard about the tree of life since back in the first book of the Bible, since back in Genesis, back in the Garden of Eden. It isn't mentioned again until the last book of the Bible here in the book of Revelation. There in the Garden of Eden stood the original tree of life, waiting for its fruit to preserve the life of mankind on earth forever. But the purpose of that original tree of life was never realized on earth. God barred Adam and Eve and their children from the tree of life and guarded the entrance to it after they fell into sin, because from that time on, all men were destined to die. But all of that will be reversed in the new city of God. The tree or trees stand both in the middle of the street and on each side of the river. Life-giving trees surrounding a life-giving river. It bears 12 fruits, with each tree bearing its fruit every month, that is 12 times a year. 12 again, being the number of the whole church, of all the elect of God. There is plenty of life for everyone here in the new city. God will sustain the life of His people continually, forever. And all the wounds that we took in this life, whether physical or mental or spiritual, will be healed there. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse. Finally, no more curse. A curse was pronounced on the earth and on mankind after the fall into sin. Death and decay were part of it. No longer walking with God visibly and openly and intimately, as Adam and Eve did before the fall, that was another part of it. Then there were all the curses of the law of Moses spoken against Israel under the Old Testament. When they entered the promised land of Canaan, both blessings and curses were pronounced from the law. Blessings dependent on their obedience to the covenant, and curses in the event of their disobedience. And we know how that went. In the new promised land, the new Garden of Eden, it will be much different. There will be no more curse. No death or decay, no punishment, no disobedience, no separation from God. Instead, the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him. And John says, they shall see His face. Well, that's different. God said to Moses at Mount Sinai, you cannot see My face, for no man shall see Me and live. That will all change in the new city of God. Everyone there will be able to see God's face. Not that we can even imagine what that will be like. We will get to know God in a way that we can't know Him yet here on this earth. And it says, His name shall be on their foreheads. God will proudly claim the citizens of that city as His own, and they, for their part, will gladly carry around the name of their God. There shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light. Now, night itself isn't evil, and darkness itself isn't bad. It was part of God's good creation, His original design. But night, after sin entered the world, is when people stumble because of the darkness. When people get lost because they can't see. Night is when sinners like to use the cover of darkness to indulge in sin. Night is the time of danger, when the innocent are the most vulnerable. But not in the new city of God. There will be no night, nor lack of light. No more time of danger. No more time of ignorance and being unable to see. Because God will be the light of the city, driving out all danger, all evil, all sin, and all ignorance, shining with a light that doesn't blind, that does no harm, but that only heals. And they shall reign forever and ever as kings and queens of the new creation. Then he said to me, these words are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent His angel to show His servants the things which must shortly take place. And that's why we can give thanks for all of this, even though we haven't yet entered the new city or the new creation, even though we don't have or experience any of these things yet, because these words are faithful and true. All the good things promised here are guaranteed by the word of the God who cannot lie and who never deceives. All of this is really waiting for you in the city of God, just on the other side of Christ's coming. And so let us give thanks to God for all His goodness and mercy here, and for the goodness and mercy that He has promised there in the new creation to all who remain faithful unto death. The goodness and the mercy that will accompany us forever and ever and ever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.